sort of like the special music was for the graduates, but we could all listen. My sermon today, I guess, definitely is geared to graduates, but we're all invited to listen. Title of my talk today is Choose Your Path Carefully. And to the graduates and to all of us, it'll bear some reflection, I do believe. I chose several different verses to exemplify and amplify the word path, because life is a journey, and so we need to choose our path carefully. There are a couple of quotes that I thought about that always come to my mind when I think about life being a journey. One is, and you probably heard it before, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. You have to ponder that a while. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Of course, my other one that comes to mind is from the quotes of the infamous or famous Yogi Berra. And Yogi said, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. Somehow that makes sense, as only Yogi Berra could have it to make sense. What I get from those two quotes is that if you don't know where you're going and any road will get you there, that sort of speaks of an aimless life. Just ambling along, wandering along with no roadmap, no direction, and no purpose. And perhaps Yogi Berra's quote, when you come to the fork in the road, take it, possibly speaks of a confused life. And when you think about the deeper implications of those two simple quotes, doesn't that describe the way a lot of folks around you, or perhaps you at some point in your life, have wandered and walked? Perhaps it was aimless, just going along, drifting along with no particular purpose or direction. Or perhaps when you came to that fork, you didn't really know which way to go because you were confused. Well, briefly this morning, I'm going to look at several scriptures, seven in fact, because that's a wonderful number of completion. The first, which is outside that seven, is one that is extremely familiar to us out of the 119th Psalm, which says, Psalm 119, 105, speaking of God's Word, where we look at it today through the pages of Scripture, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." One of the things that readily comes to mind in the imagery of that verse is that the Word of God really guides us one step at a time. The lamps of that era were not like flashlights. You didn't have one that would shine a beam 100 yards into the distance. You had a lamp that you carried that illuminated your path one step at a time. That correlates so well with Jesus' words to live one day at a time. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. And I can say for all of us, and especially to graduates who do have a future mapped out, yes, plan your future. Don't be aimless and have no real direction. But while you're planning, take one step at a time. Take one day at a time. And in a deeper, more spiritual sense, someone told me years and years ago, as a Christian who looks forward to eternity, you can plan your life with a 20-year plan, but live it as if Jesus may come today. That's a hard balance to keep, but that's the instruction of Scripture, and it's a pattern for living a much more blessed and successful life. And now with the seven things that illuminate a path, let's look at Psalm chapter 27 and verse 11, and I'm going to have the rest of these just on the screen for you. "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." Here's the gem of wisdom that I gained from that. First of all, you've probably already developed or are developing a worldview. what you see life to be. Whether you think in philosophical terms or not, you have a philosophy of life. What's really important? What's really true? What can you count on? And so as you develop your worldview, and it is developing, I'm sure, your worldview and your view of life, I can say to you, based on some experience, some failures, and some learning procedures, that learning God's ways will provide a smoother and safer life. That verse said, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." There are enemies in your life, and most of them are spiritual in nature. And it is choosing the path of God based on God's truth and God's way that will keep you safe from those enemies and give you a smoother life. It seems to me that there is confusion in the world today, to say the least. And I am constantly struck with the fact of how many people seem to live with and thrive on drama all the time. I suggest to you, your life will be better with less drama, a smoother path, a clear path, when you learn the ways of the Lord. And so that's one path I want to encourage you to walk on, the one that provides for a smoother walk through life and a safer life. Proverbs 4:26 gives us a second of the seven. Proverbs 4:26 says, "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established." There are a lot of things you could say about that verse. There are a lot of little lessons you could draw. But perhaps none better than to define clearly what it means to ponder. And to ponder is defined simply as considering something deeply and thoroughly. We use the phrase, don't go off half-cocked. Don't jump into something. Look before you leap. Ponder. Think deeply, seriously about the decisions you make. Don't rush into something because somebody's pressuring you in that direction. The wisdom of the Proverbs writer says to ponder carefully the path of your feet. Consider where you're going and take those issues very seriously. Take time. Take time. Most things are more clearly defined by time. That's why the Bible says even in the area of our speaking, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. There is value, and it will bless your life if you'll ponder the path on which you walk. The third is from Psalm 142 and verse 3. "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me." I thought about that, and how does that go together? Well, first of all, it speaks of those times in life when on your path through life, you're overwhelmed or perplexed. You're just so overwhelmed. And those of us who are older can readily say, there have been times when we've been so overwhelmed, we're so perplexed, hardly know what to do. What this psalm says is when you feel that way, God still has a path for your life. He knows the ending of your life from its beginning. And so when you're feeling that way, rest assured God has a path. But sometimes our path is blocked purposely. Sometimes that path is blocked for our own safety or for something that's even better. I could ask for a show of hands, but probably some of us in here have had a disappointment in life, a plan that was blocked, which left us somewhat overwhelmed and confused, only to find in time there was something better than what we would have settled for. Sometimes it's for our future. Sometimes it's simply for our safety. This past week, I was returning home from a baseball game with one of my grandsons, and we took the old route out of Cincinnati kind of down memory lane, the route I used to always take when I was a kid going to ball games. And we came by a sign that said, "Site of the Beverly Hills Supper Club Fire." There will be a few of you who remember that. Right there in northern Kentucky, barely out of Newport, there was a famous dinner and supper club, Beverly Hills it was called. Beverly Hills Supper Club. Every time I pass by there, I am reminded of a story, a true story, about a friend of mine, Jerry and Linda Lale. Jerry was my classmate in high school. He and Linda were married, and they had their first child. And there was an evening in which they had planned to get a babysitter and go, I forget who was entertaining that night. The name would come to me, but it's not important. It was John somebody who was entertaining that night. And they were to go to that, had reservations to go to that performance. At the last minute, the babysitter canceled, and they weren't able to go. And what, for a moment, was a great disappointment. Goodness, we had a babysitter. We had a plan to enjoy an evening together. Doggone it, why is this so unfair that we can't do this? Only perhaps, not perhaps, but for certain, when the 11 o'clock news comes on that the Beverly Hills Supper Club has burned that night and this many lives were lost, suddenly all that disappointment is exchanged for thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blockage. Thank you that you were guarding my path. Now that's a bit of an extreme example, but it is a true example to which we can apply many of the events in our lives. Our path may be blocked for your safety or for something better. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's kind of nice to come to a place in this whole pathway thing to realize that if we are willing to listen and follow, God has the path that provides joy. It's not always the easiest path, but it's a path that leaves no regrets. It's important that we sometimes differentiate between happiness and joy. Joy is that easy, calm, peaceful feeling in the midst of all kinds of circumstances. The assurance that God is in control of our lives. It's a path of no regrets. I have found in my life that one of the worst feelings is to have regrets about something that you could have done differently. One of the best feelings, one of the greatest blessings, is to walk through something and to have no regrets about it. And God has promised that on this path, when we follow Him, it's a path of joy, and it is in His presence, there's fullness of joy, and at His right hand are those pleasures forevermore. If we ever doubt the presence of God, it comes from our inward lack, because He has promised that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so I say to you, take that path that walks close to God. May not always be the easiest, but it will leave no regrets. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5 tell us this. I'm going to turn to that. It's chapter 25, not 24. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. I want to stress this. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Now, I say this to all of us, not just the graduates. Always have a teachable attitude. I'll never forget when I was pastoring my first church, 21 and made a lot of mistakes. But one of the things that struck me that was so funny, we had a guest evangelist, and we had an older men's Sunday school class, and they always liked to ask the guest preacher to teach their Sunday school class, and one of the older men approached him and said, "Will you teach our Sunday school class today?" And to my shock, the evangelist answered, "Are you teachable?" Which kind of threw me for a loop, but it's a profound question. Are we sometimes in such a rut, in such a frame of mind, so assured that we have it all figured out, that we have all the answers, that we become unteachable? So for all of us, as we walk through this pathway of life, always have a teachable attitude. One of the things that I learned years ago, and I think it was a book written by T. Austin Sparks, if I'm not mistaken, called The School of Christ. I believe he's the author of that book. The School of Christ, and I say to all of us this morning, that is the school from which we will never graduate until we graduate into eternity. We must remain teachable. We must not have a closed mind. We must have a mind, and young people especially to you, a mind that will take what you hear, process it, much as the word meditate means to chew on it like a cow chews on a cud. Process it, think about it, and decide what's true. Decide what's error, what's right, what's wrong, what really makes sense. And always have a teachable heart. And a part of a teachable heart means not being gullible, not just believing everything that comes along, but listening, processing, and weighing. So have a teachable heart. So, chapter 25, verses 9 and 10 say this, that same 25th chapter, "The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimony." I would say walk the path that's marked with humility and mercy. It's always rewarding to see someone who has achieved greatness to do so with humility. I've heard several stories. One that struck me was simply the fact that one of the greatest basketball coaches who ever lived, whose record will never be duplicated, Coach John Wooden, the Wizard of Westwood, from up in Indiana. After he'd retired from the University of California, Los Angeles, after 11 national championships, he wanted to call a coach and recommend a young man who might be worth recruiting. And he just passed that on, left word with the coach's receptionist, and said, "This is from John. You might want to consider." Nothing about, "I'm John Wooden. Let me speak with the coach." Or, "Do you know who I am?" You see, John Wooden is the mark of walking with humility and with grace. You don't have to prove how smart you are. Of course, I couldn't get through a sermon without but I don't like to get through one if there's an opportunity to tell a cowboy story. Now, David and I always disagree. He says El Dorado's the greatest John Wayne movie in that particular, and I prefer Rio Bravo because I like Dean Martin and Ricky Nelson. In Rio Bravo, Ricky Nelson plays the part of a young gunslinger who's simply known as Colorado. And as they come in to the city where John Wayne is dealing with serious trouble, and his friend offers the gun of Colorado to help defend the city, Walter Brennan, who plays the old sidekick, says to John Wayne, "Do you think the kid is as good as they say he is?" And John Wayne, as only John Wayne can say, "I think he's so good he don't have to prove it." There's something in that when you know who you are. When, you know, I apply that to Jesus at the Last Supper. The Bible says in John 13 that Jesus, having come from the Father and going to the Father, Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And after supper, he took off his outer garment and girded himself with a towel and washed the disciples' feet. It was the humility and the assurance of knowing who he was that gave him the humility and the confidence to wash the disciples' feet. None of them had that kind of humility at that moment. None of them had that kind of confidence. They were puffed up about who they were. We're Jesus' disciples. We're the big 12. But we know who the real hero in that story was. It was the one who washed the feet, not the one whose feet were washed. So always walk with humility and mercy. And then the last, the seventh of the seven, is Psalm 23:3. Comes right out of the most beloved psalm ever written. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If we will follow, young, old graduates, and those of us who graduated many, many years ago, if we will follow, God will lead us on the right path. When I was in college, it was a chapel speaker. It was not baccalaureate or graduation. I just remember this speaker really well. Some things stick with you. I remember he was speaking along this same line, and he told a story that in his boyhood out in the Midwest, back before roads were paved, a lot of them were not even gravel, just dirt roads. And when the rain and the mud traveling through there, ruts would be that deep in the road. And of course, back in those Model A days and older cars, the tires were hard and not too wide, and they'd make ruts that deep. And there was a sign as you turned onto one road that said, "Choose your rut carefully. You'll be in it the next 20 miles. It was so deep you couldn't get out. And so I thought, you know, choose your path carefully. Choose your path carefully. Your choices are vital. You know, we can learn a lot from a lot of folks. I'm a country music fan. I'm a George Jones fan. And George Jones wasted most of his life, but later in life, probably because of a good marriage and a good woman, George Jones came to know the Lord. One of the little played and little known songs that George wrote and sang is called Choices. You can look it up. And the gist of it is, I wouldn't be living with the result of the choices I made if I'd have made better choices. He came to realize that, and thankfully it wasn't too late. My prayer is that we'll realize it, you'll realize it very quickly, that your choices are indeed vital and will make a big difference. Choose wisely, not on the whims of the culture. You can say, even though you may not be a family man or woman yet, you can say with that great hero of the Old Testament, Joshua, "As for me, I will serve the Lord. As for me, I will serve the Lord." Well, let's stand together. Hopefully we've all had a brief opportunity this morning to reflect on the value of the choices we make, the paths that we choose, and that we'll choose wisely. The greatest choice is to what we choose to do with Jesus. Before we sing, just hear this, because it may speak to someone's heart. It was about this time, graduation time, where I heard the story of a young man whose father was an attorney, and he walked in to see his father, having just graduated. His father was not there, but his father's law partner was there. His father's law partner, being a wise man, knew that this young man was not really seeking after the Lord, and so, wanting to speak to him wisely, he asked, "Jim, what are you planning to do now that you've graduated?" He said, "Well, I'm planning to go on to college." Very quietly, the law partner said, "What then?" And he said, "Well, I intend to get through college and then go on to law school." And the partner said, "What then?" He said, "Well, when I get out of law school, I hope to join you and Dad, make a success in the law firm. What then? Well, he had a twinkle in his eye and said, you know, I hope to get married and have a family. I think I already got the girl in mind. What then? Well, I hope we can have a family and we can be successful. What then? Well, I guess after practicing law and raising a family, I'll just get older. Well, what then? And then he began to shift a little uncomfortably as the man said to him, what then? Well, I guess I'll die. And the wise law partner waited very patiently and very quietly, hoping to give God's Spirit an opportunity to move. And he looked the young man in the eye and said, what then?
Lord, the light of your love is shining
in the midst of this dark,
is shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let heavy Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be one. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Send forth your word, Lord.
is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Now let's slow it way down.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have.
Again, thanks to all of you who assembled with us today. It's been a joy to be with you and to worship the Lord together. Once we have the benediction, if there's anyone at that time who would like for prayer to be lifted up, to be anointed for healing or for any obstacle that you're facing, we're always here to pray with you. Just because we have the benediction, we're not going out of business, all right? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. You are dismissed. Please greet one another with the love of Christ and share fellowship together.